The gramophone was invented in the 19th century, and its purpose was to broadcast an atmosphere of music into the homes of ordinary people. Now, we're so used to hearing music on like the tiniest of devices now, but back then, just putting the needle onto the disc and hearing that crackling sound was so new that once the music came out, it lifted the entire environment with a sense of hope. Now, as the chosen people of God who have been given a beautiful glimpse into God's great story for the world, we are meant to operate like this, as those through whom one wonderful saving truth is played that changes everything. This is the truth. God reigns over all things through Jesus. Now that's the truth of the book of Isaiah. It is about announcing that unavoidable reality that God reigns over the universe. On every page, that's its focus. And because of that, it's full to the brim of this messianic expectation. It anticipates the coming of Jesus, through whom we can most clearly see what God's reign looks like in reality. Now, Israel, they were meant to be the ones who showed the world that God's reign is incredible news, but they failed consistently to meet that brief. So God sent the prophet Isaiah to continually remind them of their calling. Isaiah, in effect, became God's instrument to broadcast his message to. He became God's voice box. The way a voice box or a larynx works is simple. When you exhale, air hits your vocal cords and they're engaged and they vibrate at an incredible rate of speed to create voice. So vocal cords are useless without breath. You need breath to speak. And as we explore this book of Isaiah and realize we've been chosen to proclaim this incredible message that God reigns, we'll realize that to be God's voice to the world, we need his consistent breath flowing through us and animating us. Because in God's eyes, as it says in Isaiah 52:7, and this is the crux of the whole book, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
Today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. When he touched my mouth, he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Thank you.
Slowly he rose, and the crowd fell silent. Those at the back leaned forward, straining to hear. The atmosphere was electric. And then he spoke with carefully chosen words that flew like swift arrows that found their mark. That great man, a spokesman of God, was warning and condemning. Repent of your sin. Return back to God. Remember the orphan, widowed, fatherless. Defend the weak. Share with the needy. Reach out to the refugee. Welcome the foreigner into your home. Stop worshiping false gods. Your actions and your heart are far from God. The crowd becomes restless, shifting in their position, clenching their fists and murmuring. Some agreed with his message and, well, nodding their heads and softly weeping. However, most were really angry, and they began to hurl back insults and threats. Such was the life of a prophet. And today, we are launching into a new series that really complements our Justice in June month with the Larynx of God. We're going to be walking through the book of Isaiah. Now, let's consider the larynx for just a few moments, also called the voice box. It's that hollow tubular structure that's connected to the top of your windpipe or your trachea. Air passes through that larynx on its way down to the lungs. But the larynx also produces vocal sounds. When air is expelled from the lungs, it moves up the trachea and it strikes the underside of your vocal cords, setting up vibrations as it passes through them. And then a new sound emerges through your larynx. It then passes through your mouth, beyond your tongue and your teeth and your lips for articulation. Isaiah had a larynx that was filled with inspired words from God, holding the nation of Israel to account for their gross idolatry and their neglect of the poor. Isaiah was reared in an aristocratic home. He was actually married to a prophetess. You can check up on Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. He began his 64-year ministry. He was very well liked, but like most prophets, he soon became unpopular. As he was really confronting Israel with their sin, he was bringing a message that the judgment of God was going to come because you have forgotten the poor. And you are worshipping idols. And then in around 700 BC, Isaiah preaches his message to the south of Israel, to the tribe of Judah, where Jerusalem and the temple is situated. Before us today is Isaiah chapter 6. And what I would like to do is to point out five glimpses of God. Five glimpses of God where we will be confronted again with the grandeur of God. But I really hope that we'll also be overwhelmed by His love and His grace, and most importantly, His approachability, that we can run to this God with freedom and confidence. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 6 today. Let me ask you, can you remember a time when you were really just floored by something? Really, something that took your breath away, where you were actually left speechless. Can you think of that time? I can just think of two occasions, definitely when my firstborn son, Zach, just watching Zach come out, it was incredible. And as Michelle was holding Zach in that very first hold, and the obstetrician, Dr. Simpson, handed me the surgical scissors as I cut the umbilical cord, I was speechless. I didn't have words. I was floored. I was overwhelmed. Wow, Shell and I can create. I think for me also, when I was at Port Macquarie at the lighthouse that's up on a cliff, and I was looking at nature that was on incredible display. At that very moment, enormous waves were rolling in and crashing upon the rocks. It had just rained and the clouds were clearing and the light was beaming through the clouds, creating circles of light on the water. There was a rainbow in the distance, and I kid you not, whales were breaching, and right near the rocks, dolphins were actually corkscrewing. And I remember just standing there looking at this nature show. It was like watching a National Geographic episode, but you were right there and just looking at creation. I was just like floored, speechless, overwhelmed. And in Isaiah chapter 6 for us today, we will see that Isaiah was confronted with the very presence of God. Isaiah saw God and he was overwhelmed. He was floored. So let's have a look at five glimpses of God. And the first glimpse is this, that God is alive. And in chapter 6, verse 1, we read this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." The king of Israel is dead. Uzziah is dead. There is no one on the throne which creates for a nation economic and military instability. The king of Israel's dead. But Isaiah says, "But I saw the Lord." God is alive. He is from everlasting to everlasting. It is God that breathes life and breath into our lungs. God is not dead. And Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord." And in glimpse number two, God is authoritative. "I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne." You know, there has never been a vision of God where God is plowing the field, or cutting the grass, or shining shoes, or filling out reports, or loading up a truck. You know, heaven is not coming apart at the seams for inattention. God is seated on his throne with complete composure. God is never at wit's end. Rather, he sits in complete authority. He is on his throne. It's his right and his rule and his reign over the cosmos and over our planet. I think it's really interesting, you know, you don't give God authority in your life because he actually has it. You can deny it and you'll actually perish and be judged for that, or you can approach it with joy that God has authority over the world and he actually still has authority over our lives. He is alive and he is on his throne in a position of great authority. Glimpse number three, God has unlimited power. So Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted." God is over every other throne, and thus he is superior in power, superior in authority, superior in rule and control over every other throne. God is high and he is lifted up. It is an authority with supremacy of rule. And in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, we read this. God says, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please." This is all-powerful, absolute authority, and a living God who actually is a refuge for the weak and the poor and the orphaned and the widowed and the fatherless and the oppressed. God has a special heart for those that are suffering under the weight of injustice. And these are the very people that Israel forgot. And this is the reason why God is raising up Isaiah the prophet, so that Isaiah will go to the people of Israel and say that the Lord sees. The Lord sees your idolatry, worshipping false gods, and the Lord, who is living on his throne, high and exalted, he sees your abuse of the poor. And in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, these are the words of Isaiah. His larynx is filled with air. He's speaking the word of God, and he says to Israel, "Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey, and robbing the fatherless." This living God, who is high and exalted on his throne, he sees the oppression of the poor, and he is responding with his justice. You know, for us this month, in Justice in June, across this month, we also have an opportunity to stand with our partners that are bringing God's rule and reign, God's justice, right around the world, and especially even in our own local community. One of our partners is Hope Street, which is in the inner Sydney suburb of Woolloomooloo. There are countless workers that we get the privilege to partner and resource, standing alongside women and children that are fleeing domestic violence. And we know that the statistics are increasing, the cases are multiplying in a COVID lockdown community. Standing alongside those that are addicts trying to arrest their addiction, working with the unemployed so that they can be more employable, caring for the rough sleepers that are freezing on the streets of Sydney, do we see? Justice in June gives us an opportunity to use our prayer, our advocacy, and our finances to bless Hope Street. Well, what about FEBC, Far East Broadcasting? What an incredible ministry for the time that we are in. When the world is, yes, reopening, but has certainly been shut down, we are certainly not out of the COVID crisis yet. Even though the news cycle wants to move on to the next story, the world is still in a precarious place. But Far East Broadcasting, they beam or broadcast the gospel message into people's homes. But it's also messages of community announcement and help for counseling and relief and the words of Jesus. Do we see the opportunity to partner with FEBC so that the gospel can be broadcast? Or our Lighthouse family there in Cambodia, kids that were once orphaned, now in a home with a loving mum and dad, are really in need and dependent of our support. You know, we can only take ownership of this moment. We can hear the challenge in Isaiah. I'm trusting we can be even more overwhelmed by the grandeur of God, but June is our month. This is our moment in history when we can stand up with a rich generosity to encourage and bless our partners and missionaries around the world. God is authoritative. And glimpse number four, God is resplendent. I came across this word. I had no idea what it meant before preparing for this, but listening to one commentator reflecting that God is resplendent. And this is what it means: attractive and impressive through being richly colorful or sumptuous. And this is what we read. Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." God is resplendent. the train of his robe. When you see this word train in the Hebrew, it also represents this idea of the hem. So when you think about your pants, there's a hem right at the bottom. It's just a little upturn, isn't it? Well, that hem, the hem of God's robe, just his hem, it fills the whole temple. I think it is fitting. God is resplendent. He is impressive. He is attractive. He is richly colorful. God is beyond our imagination, and just the hem of his robe, it fills the temple in Jerusalem and overflowing out into the streets. God is resplendent. And glimpse number five, God is revered. Isaiah says, above him were seraphs. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." No one really knows who these seraph creatures really are, because after this passage in Isaiah chapter 6, they are never referred to again for the rest of Scripture. It's a one-time moment where we are confronted with these impressive angelic beings, the seraphs, that were flying around the throne of God and had six wings. With two of their wings, they covered their eyes. They couldn't even look at God. It was almost like they were so ashamed they had to cover their feet. Now remember, angels have not sinned. They're not fallen like us. They can be in the presence of God. And yet when they were confronted with this resplendent God, they still had to cover their eyes. They couldn't even look at God. And they had to move around the throne. And they were singing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory." You know, God is revered. You know, we may look out at the world and we may see that millions of people today don't revere God. I mean, just look at the streets of America. Many people don't revere God, and yet here in Isaiah 6, we see that God is always fittingly revered in the heavenly realms. And the whole world is full of God's glory. I want to draw your attention to a John Piper quote about the glory of God, the holiness of God. John Piper says this: "God's holiness, his incomparable perfection, his intrinsic infinite worth, when that goes public, when that goes on display, it's called the glory of God." God's glory means that his holiness goes public, his holiness goes on display for people to see and acknowledge our Lord who is alive. You know, it was at this point in my preparation, I can honestly say, that I just felt so overwhelmed about our God, so overwhelmed at the living, authoritative, unlimited power of our holy, resplendent God who is gloriously revered. And I thought to myself, who can approach this God? It was at that point, I was just sitting at my desk, it was at that point that one of our freedom verses, it rushed into my mind in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. We read, "In Jesus and through faith in him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence." I can honestly say that I felt the weight of my sin and the enormity of God, I just got up out of my desk. It's funny because Pastor Sam was editing last week's service, and I just came in here, I sat next to Sam, and I said, Sam, I feel so overwhelmed by Isaiah chapter 6. I was considering, wow, I am such a sinful person. I get it wrong. I'm selfish. I'm broken. I'm flawed. Angels can't look at God. But the Bible says that in Jesus, when we're covered by His blood and through faith in Him, we can run to our Father. We can run to this holy, resplendent God, and with freedom and confidence, and talk to God face to face. You see, we are so deeply loved by God. We are saved by this God. But there's a call coming. We are saved for a purpose. There's a call coming. And for Isaiah, confronted with these glimpses of God, he cries out, woe is me, I am unclean. And one of those seraphs takes a burning coal, flies down to Isaiah, sears his lips, and God says that you're clean. Isaiah is forgiven and can stand before this holy God. But then God asks a question of Isaiah, whom will go? Whom shall I send? I mean, what was Isaiah going to do with his experience of God? He's confronted with a question. God says, whom shall go, whom shall I send? What was Isaiah going to do with his experience of God? I can only imagine the moment biologically when his larynx, and it filled with air and sound, it vibrated along his vocal cords, and Isaiah cried out, send me. Here I am. I will go. Isaiah's pumped. He's ready to get out there. But what's really intriguing is that God then responds to Isaiah and says, it's going to be really tough out there amongst my people. Remember, Israel are worshipping idols. They've forgotten the poor. And this is what God says. He says that my people, in verse 10, are calloused. Their ears are dull. Their eyes are closed. And then in verse 11, he's starting to think about how hard it's going to be. Remember, he's very well liked in Israel, and he's going to have to give a very tough message. And then in verse 11, Isaiah says, well, for how long, O Lord? It's a reasonable question. How long? For Isaiah, the vision of God, being the larynx of God, it's going to be really tough. But at the end of chapter 6, verse 13, this is what we read. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. The holy seed. What is that? What is the holy seed? Well, it's a remnant. It's a stump that can actually sprout out a new leaf, new branches. Something is going to happen. And this is what happens when we get to Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 1 to 5. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up. This is talking about Jesus, the holy seed, that little sprout out of the stump. Jesus, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by men and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity or sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus is the holy seed, like a new green shoot growing up out of a stump. A man of sorrows who bled and died for our sin so that we can approach God with freedom and confidence. For Isaiah, there was a cleansing and then there was a call. And I think that's not a bad place for us to land today. I hope that you are like me, again, overwhelmed, speechless, breathless over the glimpses of God in Isaiah chapter 6. There is an opportunity for us to also experience a cleansing and a call, just like Isaiah had. I want to encourage you today that you can, in Jesus, run to this almighty, living, authoritative God who is high on his throne, above every other throne. You can go to this God with freedom and confidence and confess your sin and you will be cleansed. It's as if like a seraph takes a burning coal and sears our lips. We can be cleansed and forgiven. And I just want to encourage you after this service, go find a quiet place. Just confess your sin. Go for a walk. Find a room. Get on your knees. Come before this holy God and just say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Maybe you need to actually name some of that sin and experience his cleansing. But out of this cleansing comes a call. Here I am, Lord, send me. I will go. So often I think that's a step too far. I think we need to start this week cultivating an availability, cultivating an attitude that says, here I am, send me. I wonder this week if you could take a step like I want to, just each morning, just to say, here I am, send me. I think when we cultivate an attitude of availability, you'll experience God just whispering small steps towards encouraging someone, blessing someone, sharing Jesus with somebody, taking hold of obedience so that we say no to sin and yes to God and his ways, no to idolatry and yes to worshiping God. Let's do that. Let's land in a prayer moment together where we can confess our sin and we can cultivate an attitude of availability. Here I am. Send me. Would you pray with me? Would you take this moment and realize that we're coming before this almighty God that we've been confronted with in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, holy, holy is your name, and the whole earth is full of your glory. We acknowledge, Father, that you are alive. You are on your throne. You are high and exalted. You are resplendent, impressive, and attractive. You are our God, and we revere you today and say we acknowledge that you have authority and we embrace it with joy. We want to give you our lives. Woe is us that sin and fall short. But I praise you, Jesus, that when you were on that cross, you were the man of sorrows that bled and died and were crushed so that we can run to our Father with freedom and confidence. Lord, we want to cry out right now, forgive us of our sin. Maybe just take a few moments, cry out to this God, confess your sin before him. He wants to cleanse you. And Lord, we want to cultivate an attitude of availability here, Father. We want to say, here we are, send us. So Lord, we just pray that right now that we will take steps this week to be available, to be willing to go and encourage and bless, to say no to sin and yes to obedience. Lord, we need your empowering this week. that we would be available and ready to be used by you. We love you, Father. You're our good, good God, and we want to see injustice in the world, and we want to stand alongside the poor and oppressed to make sure that others can experience your love and your glory today, your holiness going on display for everyone to see. We commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. What a blessing it's been to open up God's word. May you have a great day. May you know the power and the presence of God. May you experience God's face shining on you today.